Today's sermon is one of those times that God's just showing out. As many of you know, I choose the text and titles for my sermon and themes for my sermons several months in advance. I generally write them several weeks in advance. I didn't know when I chose the text for this sermon that this area all across North Mississippi and down in the Delta was going to be experiencing the devastation and ravages of an ice storm. Now, when I say where with the text I'm reading today, Matthew 5:13-20, that may not click with many of you. But when I say Jesus called us salt and light, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And loved ones, I have seen people being salt and light this week, last week. I have seen Christians being the hands and feet of Jesus. I have seen people opening their homes to people without power, without water. And they're opening their homes and they're allowing people to shower, wash their clothes. They're feeding people. They're going and clearing yards and driveways. And I will say this, I'm so proud of my people. I don't even have words. Our church has shown up and we've been who Jesus is calling us to be. So now I'll quit that bragging on them or they'll get the big head. And listen as you will, if you will, as I read our text, Matthew 5:13-20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not, certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is sitting on a hillside, but nothing, while the picture seems calm, nothing in about this moment is calm or removed from real life. The people gathered around him aren't there because things are settled or secure. They're there because life feels unstable, because something in them is searching for footing. They live under Roman rule. Their land isn't really their own. Taxes are heavy. Power belongs to someone else. And faith, which should have been a source of comfort, has become complicated. The law is everywhere, but for many people, it feels just out of reach. It belongs to those who know how to keep it properly, to those who have time, education, and standing. Most of the people listening to Jesus have learned to keep their expectations low. They don't expect to be addressed directly. They certainly don't expect to be trusted with anything meaningful. Faith has taught them who they aren't more often than who they are. And that's the world Jesus is speaking into. It's not a world with confidence and clarity. It's a world of uncertainty. It's a world where people feel overlooked. It's a world where worth is assigned by position, by purity, by performance. A world where identity is something you earn if you ever earn it at all. So when Jesus begins speaking, the surprise isn't just what he says, it's how he says it. He doesn't start with correction. He doesn't open with demands. He doesn't begin by telling them what they need to fix. He tells them who they are. And that matters more often than we realize. Many of us have spent a lifetime believing responsibility comes before belonging. We assume we need to prove ourselves before God will trust us with purpose. We assume we have to get it right before we are allowed to matter. And Jesus turns that upside down. He speaks identity first. And y'all, that's grace. Before anyone has followed perfectly, as if we even could, before anyone has understood fully, before anyone has done anything worth pointing to, Jesus names them with words that carry weight and responsibility. Salt, light. Not you should become, not you might someday. No, Jesus says you are. And y'all, if we slow down and think about that should unsettle us in a very good way. Because Jesus is doing something risky here. He is placing the well-being of the world, its preservation and its illumination, into the hands of ordinary people. Why would Jesus trust people like this? Why would he place such responsibility on people who are still figuring things out, still carrying doubts, still learning how to follow? But Jesus isn't naive. He knows exactly who he's talking to. He knows their limitations. He knows their fears. He knows they'll stumble more than once. And still, he speaks identity. When he calls his followers salt, he's using an image rooted in daily survival. Salt isn't decorative, it's necessary. In the ancient world, salt kept food from spoiling. Without it, decay came quickly. Things didn't last. That image tells us something important. Jesus didn't pretend the world is fine on its own. He knows how fragile goodness can be. He knows how trust quickly erodes, or how quickly it can erode. He knows how easily cruelty spreads, how fast hope thins out when pressure builds. And salt pushes back against that. Not by force, not by control, not by power, but by presence. Salt works quietly. It doesn't draw attention to itself. Most of the time, you don't notice it at all, unless it's missing. And that's how faith works. Faithfulness doesn't usually announce itself. faithfulness shows up. Time and time again, faithfulness shows up. It shows up in small choices, in consistent presence. It's seen later when something that should have fallen apart didn't. When a relationship holds. When a community didn't rot from the inside out. Salt looks like choosing honesty when cutting corners would be easier. It looks like staying engaged when walking away would protect you. It looks like refusing to harden, even when disappointment would justify it. It's not glamorous. Many would say it's not even noticeable or important. But what being salt, what salt is, it preserves goodness in places where it would otherwise spoil. Without salt, the goodness would go away. And notice this, Jesus doesn't say salt should stay separate from food. Salt only works when it's mixed in, when it's present, when it's close enough to matter. Faith in Jesus' vision doesn't retreat from the world because it's messy. It doesn't hover above it, offering commentary. It lives inside it, quietly preserving what is good. Then Jesus shifts images, but he doesn't shift direction. Light. Light assumes, takes over darkness. Jesus doesn't deny it, darkness. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't pretend it isn't there. He simply refuses to let it have the final word. Light doesn't argue with darkness. It doesn't shame it. It doesn't panic. It shows up. And when it shows up, darkness loses ground. Light reveals what's real. It helps people see where they are and where they're going. It creates safety. It creates orientation. It makes space livable. Especially for those of us that have been affected by this ice storm. I was blessed. My power came back in about 4 days. We still have people up here in the northeast corner of Mississippi and the north central area of Mississippi and the northwest corner of Mississippi without lights. For some, it may be another month. We have been shown how important light is in the world. Jesus, and understand this, Jesus doesn't tell his followers to try to be the light. He assumes that they are. He knows that they are. Followers of Jesus don't manufacture light. We reflect it because we're close to Jesus and we reflect his light. And that matters because a lot of us have learned to treat faith like a performance. We feel pressure to say the right things, take the right stands, have the right answers. And that kind of pressure wears people out. But light doesn't perform. Light reveals. It reveals truth without cruelty. It reveals hope without pretending everything's fine. It reveals God's character through lives shaped by humility, patience, and love. And here's the part we don't always like to hear. Jesus assumes this light will be visible in his followers. Not staged, not forced, but noticeable. The way his followers live will say something about God. The way we talk about people who frustrate us says something The way we handle disagreement says something. The way we use power, money, and words says something. People are forming ideas about God based on what they see reflected in the lives of those who carry and claim His name. I don't say that to frighten us. I say that to remind us that our lives carry weight. And then Jesus turns to the law. Now that can feel like a very sudden change, but it isn't. He knows what the crowd is thinking. He knows some are wondering whether grace means the old ways don't matter anymore. Whether obedience is optional now. Whether faith has become vague. Jesus says no. But he also says that obedience without heart misses the point. Y'all, the law is not meant to be a scorecard. It's meant to guide people into life with God and with one another. But over time, it had become a tool for comparison, a way to draw lines and rank faithfulness. Jesus fulfills the law because he restores its purpose. The law was meant to bring people closer to God. Jesus came to bring us closer to God. That's why Jesus talks about righteousness that goes deeper than appearances. Because surface level righteousness can't hold up under real life. It looks fine until forgiveness costs something, until love requires patience, until obedience asks for humility. Deeper righteousness isn't about looking faithful. It's about being aligned with God's heart. And that kind of righteousness can't be faked for long. It shows up in how we live when no one's watching. The good news is that this righteousness isn't achieved by sheer effort. It grows out of relationship, out of grace. Already at work. See, John Wesley understood this. He believed grace doesn't just forgive, it transforms. Slowly, faithfully, over time, holiness. For Wesley wasn't withdrawal from the world. It was love lived out in real, tangible ways. And that's exactly what Jesus is describing. And now, finally, we can see what he's been doing all along. He's been trusting ordinary people with extraordinary purpose. He's been placing responsibility without removing grace. He's been redefining faith as a faithful presence rather than a religious performance. And that brings us into our world. Because our world still feels fragile. For some of us at this time, it feels very fragile. Trust erodes quickly. Conversations still harden fast. People are still sorted and labeled and dismissed. Faith today carries baggage. Many people associate Christianity more with judgment than with grace, more with fear than with hope, and that reality should sober us. Not so we retreat, not so we get defensive, but so we ask honest questions. What kind of presence are we in the world? Salt doesn't shout. Light doesn't shame. Righteousness doesn't perform. Being salt and light doesn't mean fixing everything. It means staying present. It means choosing faithfulness over spectacle. It means trusting that small acts of grace matter more than we can see. And only now can we name it clearly. Christ is revealed in his followers. not through domination or withdrawal or perfection or performance, but through lives that preserve goodness and shine light, quietly pointing themselves beyond themselves to God's glory. Y'all, we don't have to be everywhere. We don't have to fix the world. We don't have to shine spectacularly. We are already where God has placed us. Salt works when it's scattered. Light shines when it's set down. And Christ is still being revealed right now through ordinary people who stay present, who stay grounded, and who stay shaped by grace. That's what it means to be salt. That's what it means to be light. Bow your heads with me, please. Faithful God, help us remember that worship doesn't end when we walk out of the church. You send us into everyday life as salt and light, into conversations, decisions, and relationships where your grace can be seen and felt. Help us stay present where you have placed us. Give us courage to live honestly, patience to love well, and trust to believe that small faithfulness matters. Go with us, guide us, and use us so that Christ may be revealed through our lives. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.